The Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All of these things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you, my brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have certain core traditions and beliefs that are important to us. They make us who we are. They define our own behaviors and the way we think other people should behave. A story to illustrate traditions and how their meaning may become lost. There were three sisters and their husbands who got together every Thanksgiving at one another's homes for the Thanksgiving dinner. The husbands noticed after several years of this exchange of homes that no matter wherever the meal was, whatever home they were in, the sister preparing the ham would slice off the end of the ham before putting it into the cooking pan. You cooks out there can appreciate this. I'm looking at one down here. The husbands kept wondering, what is with this? And so they asked the women, "Why do you women always do that?" Well, that was an easy one. They said, "Well, that's the way their mother always did it." So one of the women turned to Mama and said, "Well, why, Mom, why is it that we do that? And you did that." Cut off the end of the ham. She says, "That's the way my mother did it." They're still curious. They're not satisfied. So they thought, well, Grandma must have done it. So they called Grandma, and she wasn't present. But anyway, she said, "Oh, that's an easy one, why I always cut the end of the ham off before I cooked it. It's the only way it fit in my pan." She said that a long time ago, she discovered that the pan she had was too short for the typical ham that she purchased. So that made perfect sense to her, but it continued on whether it made sense to the further on down generations. Today's reading from Mark begins about a Jewish tradition that involved ritual hand washing, and it had nothing to do with hygiene. The Pharisees accused the disciples of eating without going through the prescribed hand-washing tradition. The intent of the hand-washing tradition was spiritual cleansing, observed to remove contaminating effects of any possible contact with unclean persons or unclean objects. It was a really nice idea, a way of getting right with God three times a day. It's kind of like, rather like saying grace today. It's just a tradition. Well, Jesus didn't think that God required hand washing of ordinary people, and this was something that the Jewish priests did in performing their sacred duties. So in this dispute with the Pharisees, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their wrong focus on a man-made rule. And he calls attention to the real issue at hand, pun intended. Do you get it? You're not laughing. It was a hand problem, so the real issue at hand. You're a little slow today, and this is the late service. The real issue was their arrogant hearts and the attitude of one's heart toward God, wasn't it? A heart turned away from God is evil. It ruins our relationship with God and makes us unclean. To make his point, Jesus responded with a quotation from Isaiah, which I will repeat in a paraphrased sort of way. I see it this way in modern vernacular. Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesies about you hypocrites. You're so busy worrying about the traditions created by humans that you forget about the commandments of God. You pay me lip service, but your hearts are far from me. Clearly, you, meaning the Pharisees, are experts at ignoring God's commandments in order to establish these rules. Not mentioned in today's gospel text, which is omitted, I'm not sure why. In Mark, if you go back to your Bibles when you get home, look up verses 11 and 12. Another example of the Pharisees' deceit in their hearts. There's a term in there called Korban, C-O-R-B-A-N. It's a Jewish term, Hebrew term. It means dedication of a gift to God. And what that was, it was a format that the Jewish people, particularly the Pharisees, adopted to avoid honoring their mothers and fathers, which is one of the commandments. They secretly or openly dedicated their wealth to God in the temple, which means they were absolved from giving anything to help their parents. How deceitful is that? I mean, the commandment clearly says, honor your parents. That means a lot of things. Well, anyway, that's another example, not cited in the reading. But look it up when you get home. It's interesting. The hand-washing incident, by the way, is an example that the Pharisees show in their rigid legalism and their willingness to preserve their religious identity in a hostile world, no matter if it was realistic or not. I mentioned the word hypocrite, which is part of Isaiah's prophecy. The word hypocrite stems from the Greek and literally means someone who puts on a mask to play a part, an actor. The mask, says Jesus, is the words that the Pharisees use. And behind their words of piety, their hearts have no intention of really discovering what is it that God desired. They have elevated human customs, this hand washing, to the level of divine commands. And in the process, they've overthrown the actual divine commands themselves. Our Christian traditions should not be a matter of rigidly going through the motions of church and Sunday school. It's not a matter of rigidly repeating our prayers, hardly thinking of what we're saying. It's a matter of the heart, what's in here. For when our heart is right with God, then the external motions of worship are okay. They're all right. The Hebrews thought of the heart the way we think of the soul. It's the fundamental you, the seat of human life, including our intellect and will. It's the part that relates to God. The Pharisees only saw the little things. They never saw the big picture. They did not see or understand Jesus and his true nature and teaching. They never saw the people who had been blessed and healed by Jesus. They were never interested in these things. They were more concerned about scouring pots and pans and washing cups and saucers in the minutest detail. And this, when they did this, made them separated from their fellow men. Their eyes were blind to everything except what threatened their traditions, their vested interests, their authority, and their prestige. Now, I'm not against washing hands before eating. It's a good practice. But to call it sin, it separates you from God, that's a little way out, isn't it? So the tradition took on a life of its own and displaced God's law. And that's the part that comes from the heart that's not good. To be fair, we have to assume that the Pharisees had good intentions when they began the tradition of washing and purification. But their just self-centeredness and self-importance outdid themselves. So now, we're talking about the Pharisees, and they're always depicted as the bad guys. I'm sure there were some good ones, like Donald Trump. I'll find some. I'll save that for another sermon. So the question arose in my mind when I was getting ready to do this sermon. Are there modern-day Pharisees, either in these pews or outside these pews? Probably none in these pews. I don't see any of you as Pharisees. But without going into detail about Pharisees and whether they exist or not here, that could be another full sermon. I do want to cite an example or a piece of information I gleaned from the Barna Group, B-A-R-N-A. It's a research company in California that focuses on faith and cultural issues. And they recently found that 51% of North American Christians that they polled possessed attitudes and actions more like the original Pharisees than Christ. In other words, self-righteousness and hypocrisy. With due respect to David Letterman, here are the top 10 things that they discovered that show modern-day Pharisees exist and what they say. Number 10, people who don't go to church can come if they want. Number 9, I'm simply more comfortable with people from my church than I am with people who don't go to church. Number 8, more people need to stand up to Christian values. Number 7, of course I'm a Christian. Number 6, they just need to try harder. Number 5, sure, I have a few issues, but that's between God and me. Number 4, God listens to my prayers. Number 3, you shouldn't hang around people like that. Number 2, if he or she knew the Bible as well as I did, his or her life would be much better. And number 1, I follow the rules. Now, I know you are probably thinking of people outside this community of faith that you've heard say these things, but think about it in terms of your own life. Do you have any of these thoughts or tendencies? If you do, you might be a modern-day Pharisee and don't even realize it. Some of the most divisive moments in the life of any parish can take place if traditions are altered, when there's a change of pastors or liturgical and music practices. Quite often there is a tendency to compare the new with the old and judge the new as breaking sacred tradition if things are not done the way we always did them. When this happens, are we serving God or our own selfish pride? Holding on to human traditions as if they were divinely inspired can cause us to lose focus on the basic virtues of love, reconciliation, and the good news that God has come among us. Man-made rules can easily become stumbling blocks between Jesus and you all. Another example of traditions in parish life that take on a life of their own. It's kind of a humorous story, but you'll get the point. It seems there was a small town in upstate New York which called a new young pastor, replacing a beloved pastor who had been there for 35 years. The new pastor had been in place for several weeks when he began to sense that the congregation seemed troubled. He called aside some of the longtime members, the elders, if you will, and asked, "What was wrong? What seems to be the problem?" They said, "It's the way you do the communion." "What do you mean?" "Well, it's not so much as what you do as what you leave out." "What I leave out? I don't leave anything out." "Oh, yes, you do. Just before the communion, the previous pastor would always go over and touch the radiator." Touch the radiator. "I never heard of that liturgical tradition." So the young pastor, he's beside himself. He's worried about doing things properly and not breaking sacred traditions. So he called the former pastor to tell him he was having some trouble. "It's something to do with the radiator." So he told him about it, and he said, "Did you do that?" "Oh, yes, I did. Well, always before I administered communion to the people, I touched the radiator to discharge the static electricity so I wouldn't shock them." So I suppose the congregation thought that touching the radiator was a vital component of liturgical practice. That church was known as the Church of the Holy Radiator. I only write the material they give me. Sometimes we think we are in the church business, and so we make all sorts of improvements in the way that we do church. We tweak the tradition. But we are not really in the church business. Actually, we are in the worshiping and serving God and one another business. The outward forms that this may take can change dramatically, and we will still be in the worshiping and serving God business. This can be seen if you look through the whole history of the church, through all the generations, at all the different types of worship and service that have gone before. I don't want to be misunderstood, so let me clarify my view, where Pastor Mentzer may have some explaining to do. We should respect and even cherish our traditions, but we should not allow ourselves to be imprisoned by them. Our denomination's namesake, Martin Luther, railed at many of the man-made traditions of the Roman Church, hence the Reformation. But he was quick to point out, however, that he was not against human traditions per se, but in the conflict between human traditions and the Word of God, he would stand with the Word of God. The Pharisees were not the only people who got upset when traditions were not honored. How about each of you? Do you get upset when your traditions are not followed? We always did it that way before. Sometimes we had to part with our traditions, and that is not always easy to accept. The word for that is change, change. None of us, including myself, really like change, like to keep it the way it always was. Sometimes that's needed to be changed. Does it bother you that we may set aside the command of God by our traditions? Do we realize that we may be rebelling against God, His order, and the responsibility He has given us? Do we recognize that we will be judged for replacing His law with our traditions? We too need a clean heart. We should not measure our relationship with God by mere motions or certain things we do or don't do. each and every one of us has a heart problem. Hopefully not a physical one. The heart problem I'm speaking of is the heart out of which comes that which affects our lives. If the heart is affected by sin, it becomes deceitful and wicked. We can change our lives by having a heart transplant to remove the uncleanness of which Jesus speaks. Our emotions should not become a substitute for faith. When God looks at us, the first thing he sees is the state of our heart. He doesn't care what we look like on the outside. He's more concerned about what's on the inside and what comes from right in here, in this heart. I leave you with this prayer. May God, in his grace, create in each one of us a new heart and renew a right spirit within us so that we may see more clearly and love more dearly. While the things of this world and its laws and traditions are dimmed as we shine within in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.